Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, Diego? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, dirty, dirty?
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
D.A., how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, number 11 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. We'll drop that coming up here in about 15 minutes from now, number 11 on the 12 DAs as we count down the greatest moments of the year, the most memorable moments. Also on Thursday, the year of the buffoon. Mraz said what montage? It is an exquisite piece of art. I'm telling you this, guys. Exquisite piece of art put together by Pete the Body Bilotti. It brings together all of the moments that Mraz said something factually incorrect about geography, science, or history, or just simply our world at large, which, as you might imagine, is quite the tapestry. We will unveil this on Thursday, the year of the buffoon montage. This is the best time of the year to listen to the DA show as we go back over the year that was. Let's start with the college football playoff here. They got it right. They got it right. And I'm not one to normally give the playoff committee all that much credit. You know, they got it right.
The committee holds LSU and Ohio State in the highest regard. We flipped them between 1 and 2 three times this season. That's what happens when you work off of a clean sheet of paper with two teams that are so closely matched. LSU's dominating performance against an excellent Georgia team was a final piece of information that influenced the committee's vote.
That was Rob Mullins as part of the College Football Playoff Committee's Facebook page.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Here's what they got right. LSU is a better team than Ohio State and deserve to be number one. Now, ultimately, it doesn't really matter because you've got to beat somebody really good to win this national championship. I guess the argument is you'd only have to beat one really good team if you were the one seed instead of two, if you were the two or the three. But it's not like you get a bye. LSU has the better high-end victories. No ifs, ands, or buts. And on conference championship night, rose to the occasion more than Ohio State did. If you're a Buckeyes fan, I'm sorry, you'll have to recuse yourself from this debate because you have a colored view of things because you love your Buckeyes. Here's the truth. I got no dog in this fight. Going to Alabama and doing what LSU did when Alabama had Tua is far better than anything Ohio State did this year. And I think the Buckeyes are great. I think the Buckeyes, the first 6 weeks of the season, I said on these airways, were the best team in the country. But LSU, going to Tuscaloosa and doing what they did, combined with going to Texas and winning, combined with beating both Florida and Auburn when they were top 10 teams of the country, combined with dismantling the number 4 team in the country in the SEC title game, dismantling, tells you they are better. Now, maybe only by a shade, but they're better. Come on. When Ohio State beat Penn State, it was a sloppy win. Lost 3 fumbles. gave Penn State life. When Ohio State beat Wisconsin on Saturday, they trailed by two touchdowns, twice, 14-0 and 21-7. Even if you thought it was neck and neck, that they were 1A and 1B going into conference championship Saturday, Ohio State trailed by two touchdowns to a worse opponent, where LSU picked apart one of the best defenses in the nation and never let them have any breathing room off the mat. I'm sorry. And I know Buckeyes fans are emotional and they're passionate and they're vocal, and I appreciate that about you guys. Your team's not as good as LSU. Now, they've only got to play one game to prove that they're the champion, and that's fine. That could come in the national championship game. But if you are so confident that Ohio State's that much better than LSU, then you shouldn't fear taking on Clemson. The only thing that the committee got wrong, and I don't even know if you can say got it wrong, is that Oklahoma is nowhere near this category of competition. It is the three giants and a team that doesn't belong. I'm sorry. By what conventional measures are, would put Oklahoma in the tournament. Look, they're a one-loss major conference champion. But the amount of Houdini acts that they had to pull out in the final month and a half of the season, and how low the bar is for their improved quote-unquote defense, is staggering. LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson laugh at the Sooners. Laugh. Oklahoma was getting pounded by K-State. Pounded. Until they had a late comeback. They trailed Baylor by 25 points. 28-3. Trailed Baylor 28-3. They needed a two-point conversion to go their way against Iowa State at home so that they didn't gag a three-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. They nearly gagged a three-touchdown lead against TCU. And then needed overtime to beat a team on its third quarterback in the Big 12 championship game. Once Charlie Brewer went out, Oklahoma needed overtime to beat a team on its second and third quarterbacks. That's just nowhere near this. It's nowhere near it. And look, I get it. You can't put Oregon in. They've got the second loss. You're not going to put Baylor in over Oklahoma. Oklahoma just beat them twice. You can't put in Georgia. They got the two losses, and one of which is to South Carolina. But Oklahoma with those other three, not even the same zip code. Not even close. Everything had to break their way, fine, but you watch. Whew. LSU 44, Oklahoma 13. Oh, it's going to be ugly. Oh, it's going to be ugly. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. The officiating in the NFL, which was highlighted last night in Foxborough, is so beyond repair. It is beyond repair. And we are at the point in time where it is a miracle that fans don't run screaming from the NFL. They are so fortunate that we are so addicted to football. They are so fortunate that they are such a cultural phenomenon. They are so fortunate they have such an unbelievable television product in a world where we can't stop watching television. Because the officiating should cause us to run like hell away from this league. Al Riveron, leading the blind here, is a joke. An absolute joke. And it has only had a erosion of trust between the two sides, the officials and the coaches. And he's been the headmaster, creating animosity between the two sides. But last night in Foxborough, the amount of flags thrown between two of the best teams in football was remarkably stupid. You know, if these are two of the worst teams in football playing at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, all right. You'd say, well, two bad teams, got to clean it up. Nobody's watching anyway, what have you. These are two of the best teams in football, and you're throwing a flag on almost every play. This crew was so flag happy last night that multiple times they threw a flag, got together and realized, you know what? No, I guess there was no flag. They were so into throwing flags on two of the best teams in football. They threw flags when there weren't penalties. I'm sorry. We just got in the habit. We just kept throwing flags, you know? And to throw that many penalties, to stop the game to a wretched, grinding halt, and to screw up obvious plays like whistling dead the Kelsey fumble or saying N'Keal Harry stepped out of bounds when he clearly didn't, and to do that is remarkable. It is remarkable in how deficient it is in terms of executing your job. There is no way to fix this. There is no way to fix this because we've got all of these cameras showing how wrong they are. And they can't stop throwing flags. You know, here would be the easy fix for the NFL. Tell the refs, hey, cool it. Okay, let stuff go. Stop throwing holding on every play. Stop with the little stupid stuff like tripping, which we had in the Cowboys and Patriots game. Not everything is roughing the passer. Don't call pass interference on everything. Just get the big stuff. Just get the big stuff right. Be consistent and get the big stuff right. But if the NFL said to the refs, hey, let's cut down flags by 50%. Okay? You usually throw 15 penalties a game. Let's throw 8. All right? Just get the really big stuff. Maybe we could get back to sanity. But the refs are throwing more flags than ever before. So many so, they're picking them up. Say, now, you know what? We just got a little trigger happy again. We just love throwing the flag so much. I would tell these guys, look, you're getting killed on instant replay. Everybody sees when you're wrong. Just let plays go that you think are close. That way we can correct it, like the N'Keal Harry touchdown. Put him in, and then we'll see if he's out or not. Or the fumble, let it go. We'll see if it's down or not. All right? And stop throwing 75% of the flags. We don't need pass interference on everything. We don't need holding on everything. We don't need rough the passer on everything. We don't need all of this stuff that drags it down. So they're not only ruining the flow of the game by incessantly throwing flags. I mean, come on. Two of the best teams in football are that undisciplined last night. I got a hard time believing that. But now they're not even getting the obvious things right. What are we doing? And there's no hope in sight. There's not. I mean, unless they go to the sky judge, which the Alliance did. God bless the Alliance, RIP. If they went to that, maybe. But, whew, I mean, it is unfathomable that there is a product this popular that is officiated this poorly. It would be like if every Uber you ever got into broke down on the way to your destination or ran out of gas every time, and yet you kept using Uber and the stock kept going up. I mean, it's impossible. It would be like if every time you went to the grocery store, you came back and there was a hole in, you know, your can of beans, and there was there was worms inside your apple, and you kept going back to the grocery store, and that grocery store kept opening up bigger chains. It's impossible that people don't run screaming from this because we are so addicted to the sport itself, because it is so good as action on television, and because it is so culturally prevalent. Because the officiating is such a disgrace. When we come back here on the show, the Chiefs defense found a way to beat the Patriots. Now, is that compliment to the Chiefs defense or more about what the Patriots can't do? Plus, number 11 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney. Alliance Primetime. And it starts now.
You might have missed it because it technically didn't happen, but there was a week 9 in the AAF.
Stacy in the backfield once again. This is going to be Stacy. Tackle in the backfield. Cuts inside. Zach Stacy.
Shawnee, it's week 9, but still.
Stacy's mom has got it going on. We needed a touchdown run, and we waited so long.
I'm so sad. The Alliance had so much potential, and we were all over that train. We were pushing it to its heights, and yet it was all taken away from us by dodgy Tom Dundon. Screw you, Tom! Throughout the month, we are remembering the best moments of the DA Show's 2019, which includes number 11 of the 12 DAs of Christmas coming up here shortly. Yesterday, Patriots and Chiefs, and by the way, all of the 12 DAs of Christmas available on YouTube, so go there. Patriots and Chiefs, does this tell us about the Chiefs' defense or about the Patriots' offense? I think a little bit of both. The Chiefs' defense was a liability last year. As Mahomes was out this season with the injury, I think the defense realized they had to do more. Knowing that Mahomes has been a little compromised, I think this defense has realized it needs to pick up the slack. And Steve Spagnuolo is a very good defensive coordinator, was not a very good head coach, but we know the guy loves to dial up blitzes. And yesterday, last night, we saw another way to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots offense. 2 weeks ago, Romeo Crennel said, don't blitz anybody. Sit back and make Brady beat you, which used to be a cause for immediate death. Now, not so much. Crennel decided, I'll sit back, I'll let Brady make throws, because I don't think he can. And he was largely right. Last night, Spagnuolo said, we'll make Brady's life hell. We'll keep blitzing. We'll send the house and knock him down. We'll beat him that way. And he was right. That's a thing. The Chiefs' defense looks like it could be better than last year. But last night doesn't really tell us a whole lot, because decent teams are beating the Patriots. The Pats are so lucky this year to have this schedule. The AFC East schedule has fallen perfectly into their lap, because for the Patriots, two games against the Jets this year and two games against the Dolphins have been guaranteed wins. Although, who knows, maybe week 17 against the Dolphins isn't a guarantee anymore. But also, they play the NFC East as the crossover, which has been perfect, because look at how bad the NFC East is. That's the worst division in football. Imagine the Patriots were playing the NFC West this year instead of the NFC East. Imagine instead of blowing the doors off the Giants and Washington and beating the Eagles and the Cowboys, instead they played the Seahawks, the Niners, the Rams, and the Cardinals. Instead of going 4-0 against the NFC East, the Patriots would have been 1-3 against the division, that division. They wouldn't beat the Niners or the Seahawks. No way. And probably not the Rams. The Chiefs' defense got stops when it needed to. Last night, got the stop late in the end zone. But ultimately, this falls more on the Patriots' offense, and it is not fixable. It is not. And people are waiting, saying they'll get it together. The Patriots will get it together. They always get it together. Tom Brady, it's his wide receivers. They'll work harder, get on the same page. They'll be able to run the football better when it matters, yada, yada, yada. Guys, it's not changing. It's already middle December. They can't change. This is their personnel. Can they scheme it up? They can scheme it up enough to beat bad teams. But what you're seeing is they can't scheme it up enough to beat good teams. And in the playoffs, it's all good teams. Josh McDaniel last night ran a flea flicker and a halfback option to try to get any yards. And those were the two longest passes of the night. Was a flea flicker and then the halfback option by James White. James White threw the second longest pass of the night. There's only so much you can scheme up. What the Patriots have to do is what they almost did last night, which is how they beat the Cowboys. A huge special teams play. They got the block punt last night instead of the two-play touchdown drive, which was great. And then they also need huge turnovers, momentum-shifting, field-shifting turnovers, which is what the Kelce fumble was. Look, the Chiefs were up by two scores at that point in time. Kelce, if he catches the ball and falls down, it's a first down. They drain more time off the clock, and they're going in for at least another field goal. And then you're setting up the Patriots in a long field after the kickoff. Had Kelce just fallen down right there, the Chiefs would have won by three scores. That's it. But McCourty makes a superhuman play. I mean, he's diving side to side against Kelce, comes underneath and punches the ball out as they're both in the air. It's a great play by McCourty. Great. But this is what the Patriots are now relegated to. They need unbelievable defensive turnovers, and they're punching at everything. You're seeing this. They know they've got to punch at everything, and they're really well coached in this. And they need a blocked punt. Like, why Andy Reid wasn't in the max protect punt formation is anybody's guess. It's crazy. The only way that the Patriots can beat you here is on turnovers, and you get a punt blocked. It's crazy. Max protect, punt it away. You can't lose. The Patriots can't move the football. The Patriots' offense is permanently broken and cannot be fixed. Speaking of the Patriots and the Chiefs, remember the last time they played the AFC Championship game? It was the focal point of number 11 of the 12 DAs of Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Look at this! Look at these damn millennials! They can't even defend a hook and lateral! How could it happen?
We will go on a double date where you can get good burgers, maybe some shrimp cocktail, and I'm a cute little wild redhead. And don't you forget that, D.A.
No, why is my dog allowed to pick out molding with me, but then it can't go to Target?
Because it shouldn't go to Home Depot with you either.
Dog people are ridiculous.
My dog loves the store.
The time is now. The place is here. And the whole wide world is filled with cheer.
January 21st, Giselle does not make the trip to Arrowhead Stadium for the AFC title game.
Number 11.
Giselle's been there so often, AFC Championship, they don't even register anymore.
True story, 2011, I vomited between fourth quarter and overtime of Giants 49ers. Literally went into the bathroom and handled my business. I was so nervous. And I had just seen the team go to the Super Bowl 4 years earlier. This girl can't get her ass on an airplane on a private jet and go to Kansas City to watch her husband go to Super Bowl. And now he has to waste the rest of the audience's time nationally to tell Evan Washburn that you feel sorry. Hold on first. Forget your question. I got to tell Giselle, I'm thinking of you, honey. She could care less about going. You don't deserve this. Your whole family doesn't deserve this. Go live in a trailer park and get lost. Get in touch with reality. It stinks. This whole thing stinks today, and that was the icing on the cake at 9:45 or whatever the heck time that was. You know, that was time to shut off the TV and go to bed and understand, you know, the rich get richer here, the poor get poorer. Get lost, Brady family. You guys suck.
By the way, she couldn't care less.
Whatever. Don't make another Facebook video where you're kissing every kid on the lips.
One of the all-time great rants.
I'm coming home. Mom, Dad at home. My sisters.
I mean,
as if they played the game in Alaska.
Exactly. It is such a sin also because, as you point out, it's not like she's hopping on Spirit Airlines, paying an extra $25 just to have her carry-on bags.
Private jet!
Exactly.
One time zone to one! One time zone! One!
And there's no school today either. That was my first thought.
She's from what? Rio de Janeiro, too? She's been on long flights before.
All my family, thanks for your love and support. And all our fans back home.
Where, by the way, they speak Egyptian.
One time zone. That's the best.
One time zone. It's one time zone. Maybe the mountain time zone, we might give her a pass. It's one time zone. It's central.
Did we back on January 21st dissect the emphysema-like tone to Sean's voice during that rant? There's been the Mickey Mouse version where he gets really high-pitched. There was like a scratch in his voice there as if he had been puffing with Jody Mack before that.
Did you watch your husband go to Super Bowl?
Watch your husband go to Super Bowl? Go live in a trailer park.
All of the 12 DAs are available in YouTube form, so just go to YouTube and watch them there. Catch up on all of them and make sure you are listening throughout the month of December. Every single day we're counting down the best moments, most memorable moments of the year.
This girl can't get her ass on an airplane on a private jet.
This girl.
He's pulling his oxygen tank with him.
This girl.
Get lost, Brady
He's
family.
In her 40s.
You guys suck.
You guys suck.
She's in her 40s, mother of three,
yeah.
International supermodel. This girl.
This girl can't get her ass on an airplane on a private jet.
Because he puked in a bathroom watching a giant championship game.
Need to watch your husband go to Super Bowl?
When we come back here on the show, are the Titans dangerous? Plus your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish, big headlines.
Go live in a trailer park and get lost.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash.
DA, another much-needed win for the Rams last night. But first, Bradley Schwartz, son of Peter, just named to the high honor roll in the very competitive Levittown public school system. So the Seahawks had won five in a row. They were perfect on the road. And then those Rams handled them last night in L.A., 28-12. Rams head coach Sean McVay, almost as proud as a dad whose son just made the honor roll.
Big time win for us, no doubt about it. You know, until you go back and look at the tape, it's always hard to say. But I've really just been impressed with this team's mental toughness, their ability to stick together and just fight through the day, fight through the next opportunity, and you know, we'll see if we keep this thing rolling.
Mrs. Ditherworth says Bradley's second quarter test.
Well, first quarter. That's the key, Bradley.
Put him
keep
over
us
the
going.
Top.
L.A. had won, or has now won, 5 of 7. They stay a game behind the Vikings for the second NFC wild card. Baseball's modern era committee adding former Union chief Marvin Miller and 8-time All-Star catcher Ted Simmons to the Hall of Fame. I'm Andrew Bogish.
Too much fun with audio.
I just recently started getting into podcasts, and I was listening to the PGP yesterday. I just wanted to compliment you guys on having probably the wettest show on radio and to just encourage you guys to keep it moist.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's all we can do. Keep it moist each and every week right here on CBS Sports Radio and a new week here on the DA Show. Thanks so much for being with us on a fine Monday. Remember that the DA Show is available in podcast form. Anything that you might have missed or want to hear again, available radio.com. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere else that you want to check out the podcast of the DA Show, you'll be able to find it. Time now for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Ryan's in Washington, the state of Washington, and says, DA, I heard Sunday Morning Football yesterday. I didn't like what I heard when you had your Vegas virtuoso on. It was like he knew the Rams were going to win. Could it have been that easy? Well, Ryan, you're talking about Kenny White from Sportsline. And this was an interesting game last night, Sunday Night Football, because the Seahawks came in with 10 wins, and nobody really believed the Rams were the Rams. The Rams were kind of skittering through the season. They've had some really bad efforts on national TV, and they just haven't been able to kind of get it going. Jared Goff has looked awful at times. And so Seahawks at Rams, it was a pick 'em. And I had Kenny White from Sportsline on. Every Sunday morning football, we have a different Vegas virtuoso to look at the NFL lines. And I said, what do you think about a 10-win Seahawks team being a pick 'em against an underwhelming Rams team that feels like they're on the outside looking into the playoffs anyway? He said, the only thing that's weird here is that why it's not Rams by 6. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, I'd take the Rams laying 6. The Rams are better at every position, he said. The Rams are starting to get better. They're starting to get back to what they do well. And he said, they're going to make a push for the playoff down the stretch. He goes, the Rams at home are way different than the Rams going on the road to Seattle. The Seahawks are way different on the road. He's like, I like the Rams, and I like them big. And wouldn't you know it, this is how they build casinos in Vegas. It was a great call by him. It caught us all by, whoa, really? Pick'em game, and you think that the 10-win team should be a 6-point dog. And he was right. The Rams got back to playing the football that they need to play to win with Jared Goff. And that was kind of the sleight of hand that Sean McVay has used the last 2 years. When Jared Goff has really looked his best, and, you know, he's thrown for 4,700 yards in a season. It's no joke. He's gone to Pro Bowls. He was in a Super Bowl starting last year. But they were able to run the football. And so he did not have to be all of the offense. And this year they have been unable to run the football, and thus Goff's been exposed. But what happened again last night? They were able to run the football, and now they are finally feeding Todd Gurley again. I don't know if this was a pitch count for Gurley. Maybe because of his knee, McVay says we're not going to use you until we absolutely have to. Maybe he said we're not going to use you until really after Thanksgiving. But Gurley's now getting 20-plus carries. He had 23 carries, 79 yards last night. The Rams ran for a 162 on the ground, and Goff was far more effective. Now he throws the pick 6. That's a terrible read. But the Rams can win if the Rams can run the football. And their offensive line's been a problem. A lot of injuries in the offensive line. They've lost guys, haven't been able to run. If they run the football, Goff becomes far better than he was without the ground game. He actually becomes serviceable. Without the ground game, he's not. He's garbage. It's time for your cut line, the story that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Don't look now, but Titans-Texans next week is for the AFC South Division lead with 3 weeks to play. The winner of this game is in Nashville. This game is being played in Nashville. Takes possession of the lead of the AFC South. And the final 3 weeks of this Titans team is going to be fascinating. Look at who they play. The Texans twice and the Saints in the middle. So the Titans, who have rattled off 4 straight wins and 6 of their last 7, they've beaten the Chiefs, they've beaten the Jags, they've beaten the Colts, and they beat up on the Raiders yesterday, get 2 cracks at the Texans. The Titans are playing great football. Their defense has been always very good, but now with Ryan Tannehill helping out Derrick Henry, they can actually throw the football as well. He's developing some new weapons, and the Titans have a chance to sweep the Texans playing their best football of the year in the final 3 weeks, which would wrap up the division, which would mean the Titans would host a playoff game, wild card weekend at least, and knock the Texans likely out of the postseason. And in doing so, they've got another game against the Saints, which is going to be at home in Nashville. And the Saints right now have been knocked out of home field advantage with the loss against the Niners. The Saints have the division, but you could knock the Saints out of one of the byes. So think about what this, the final 3 weeks is for the Titans. They can ruin the Texans, they can win the division, and they can knock the Saints into playing wild card weekend. It is all on the table for the very real Tennessee Titans right now.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
That's your cut line. Here's your toll-free line brought to you by Geico, 855-212-4227. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Robin Topeka tweets, DA, the Patriots were two trick plays away from being blown out of sacred Gillette Stadium. Ding! Patriots are done.
Chubbo.
Yeah, it's over. The dynasty is eroding in front of our very eyes. The defense is still good enough, but not superhuman great, which is why, remember when they were being compared to the 2000 Ravens in the first 2 months of the season and the 85 Bears, statistically, this Patriots team? I said, guys, they haven't beaten a reasonable quarterback yet this year. Oh, they're statistically, they're the 85 Bears. Come on. Do they look like the 85 Bears anymore? Come on. So they have to get by on, you know, the trickery, which is sending the Chiefs' luggage to Newark, which is flea flickers and halfback options. They've got to block a punt. You know, this is the way they're going to have to get by. Guile, trickery, subterfuge. This is how the Patriots are going to have to win. And it's just not going to work three times in the playoffs. And don't be surprised if the Bills go to Foxborough and win. Don't be surprised. And if that happens, the Patriots, even if they win the division, could be playing wild card weekend, which again, toast. Look, are they going to be able to develop the next quarterback, the Jared Stidham, or they bring in Marcus Mariota, or they bring in Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton? That's absolutely on the table, and the Patriots could go 10-6 doing it. But Brady is toast. He is cooked. The offense stinks. They're not getting through to the Super Bowl this year, and this is the end. This is how it ends. It can't go on forever. It has to end sometime. We're watching it end. The quicker that people realize that, the better off we'll all be. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. I mean, it's so bad, Tom Brady's basically crying at the podium.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Yeah, you get a cheers, your booze. It's part of being in sports.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah. Doesn't happen very often, so... you know. It happens, so... We still had a chance and wish we could have scored there at the end.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're winning two playoff games in the AFC. Imagine the Bills beat them in 2 weeks. They got to play wild card weekend. Oh, I'd love to see that.
That's part of being in sports.
I'd love to see this Patriots team win three road playoff games. Oh, yeah. Oh, and then you actually get them in the Super Bowl? The Super Bowl?
Go to Super Bowl?
He's 42. Had Peyton Manning made it to 42 years old, he would have been throwing underhanded. Oh, it's definitely not Tom, everybody. It's definitely the wide receivers, and it's definitely the ground game. It is definitely the offensive line. It is definitely not Tom. Did we mention it's not Tom? Tom after the game. They were really mean.
Doesn't happen very often, so.
They're really mean out there.
It happens, so.
They were really mean.
It is so obviously over, and nobody can quite handle it.
Here's a bulletin from CBS News.
Or if it's just the head coach that gets his walking papers. I think that needle can be moved, in the last 3 weeks of the season. I don't know if it could save Marone.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, dear. We're going to lose Jody before Christmas, aren't we? Oh, that sounded terrible. Oh, man.
Well, it was reported last night. Reports say.
Hi. Ed tweets, you're so off on the Patriots fans booing. They want success just like you want to have a successful show. If your show is putting out a college-level product after many high-level shows, you'd be upset too. How do you know the Pats will fail? What if the dynasty never ends? Okay, so now we're talking about a dynasty that lasts infinitely. That even when Brady retires or moves on, even when Belichick croaks, that somehow they just keep winning 11 and 12 games every single year for the rest of eternity. That's what we're going to bank on here, that it might never end. Also, my point is, look, the Patriots fans have been to 8 consecutive AFC title games. They've been to 3 consecutive Super Bowls. They've hung 6 banners in the last 19 years. They were 10-2 going into last night. Booing? If that's your level of boo, okay. But just so you know, it's going to be way worse than that going forward. Way worse. Once Brady leaves, boy, you'll be dying. Once you don't have this unbelievably easy schedule and the Bills actually get kind of good, which they are, and the Jets are kind of good maybe, and the Dolphins are kind of good, wait till you see what 7-9 feels like. Then talk about booing. They were 10-2 going into last night at halftime. And they're booing? I mean, that's not a lot of patience there for a franchise that has given you 8 straight AFC title games. I just think you have to have a little context, a little perspective. Booing? That you're that disgusted by what you're seeing on the field? I mean, the franchise has given you the greatest run of success any franchise ever has given any fan base over 20 years. You're 10-2? Booing? I can't get behind that unless you're ready to boo for the next 20 years when they go 9-7 or 7-9 or 6-10 or 8-8. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish reporting all of the important headlines. Tomorrow, Trash Tuesday, so be here. I'm DA, and the Mothership disconnects.
I don't know if we could say Marone. Excuse me, in the last 3 weeks of the season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.